You're listening to 10 Minute Training, a podcast in youth ministry. We get to the point, so you get the training. Welcome to 10 Minute Training. I'm Jeremy Steele, and I'm here today with Jason Gant. He is, Jason, actually, why don't you tell us who you are and where you're from?
Well, I am the director of student ministries, and I also lead a worship venue called Vibe at my church in outside of Kansas City, Missouri, the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection. We're a multi-campus church now, and I'm at the central campus we call the Leewood campus.
Cool. And so Jason is going to be talking to us today about staffing, hiring youth staff. So, you know, let's just kind of jump right in. Jason, you've got a staff position open, either a newly created position or somebody has left. Where do you start when you are looking at hiring another staff person?
Well, I can't say I've done this every time, but many times I have started with prayer and should start with prayer every time.
Right.
Because first of all, and also recognizing opportunity. A lot of times when people leave, as people grow into their positions, you know, the position starts to be shaped around their giftings. And right. Whenever anybody leaves or you have a new or open position, you've got an opportunity to reshape structure. You've got an opportunity to rethink how the position operates. And so that's the first place. Then we start posting.
Let's just take a step back then at that kind of there. A lot of people structure based on age level, as far as junior high, senior high, that kind of thing. Is that how you guys do it? And you guys are a bigger church. Most churches aren't your size. Is that kind of how you would say most churches should do that?
Yeah, we do a little bit of both. So we've got some staff positions that are specifically age level, like we've got our middle school minister or high school minister or college minister. Then we've also got some staff positions that are specific gift, like our event director.
Right.
So we do a mix of both. I like to mix it up. Again, each new opportunity could change that structure entirely. In fact, in the last 4 years, I've written 16 different org charts. Just because every time a new opportunity comes, we shift and we really want to look at the whole picture.
Yeah, I find that a lot of churches want to make that shift into a junior high and senior high position as their first. If they're going from one staff position to two, they automatically think, okay, who's going to be senior high and who's going to be junior high?
And
oftentimes if they've got people, you know, kind of there and ready, that may not be the best. They may not, you know, need a fully separate youth program.
Right. Right. I've experienced both. I've gone in the direction that I learned, which was, okay, the next position is you hand off one or the other, middle school or high school.
Right.
And you work in a team. And I've done that and felt good about it. Then I've also had times where I've said, we're going to be director and associate director, and maybe we're focusing on one, but we're really a team. We're going to show a team. What I appreciate, if you're moving into that direction, I appreciate the director and associate director. I think that there always needs to be one person in charge. Now, in some churches, that may be an executive pastor that is charged with the youth ministry. But if it's two youth ministers, when you're equal, you're going to have some difficulties. I'm a believer in you work the team. You know, the buck stops here. To give a little Truman metaphor, since I'm in the Kansas City area, so somebody's got to be in charge. And so I tend to go that approach, and then you work as a team. But over time, gifts change, gifts develop. Want to assess those all the time and shift, and sometimes even rotate on purpose to use those giftings to their full potential.
Yeah, and for us, our staffing is laid out where. Same kind of deal where you've got the lead person and then associates and what I think and you can tell me if you're kind of at the same place. We oftentimes I find that we have people that rise up within our community here, and though that's not always the case, when that happens, you have an opportunity to say, man, this person is just amazing with music and amazing with mission, but if you want them to be all the details and getting all your accounting done, that's just not going to happen.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in lay leadership. Volunteer leadership has got to be key to who you are, because if you're waiting on staff positions to grow, you're never going to grow. It can't be dependent on staff. I mean, there's a balance there. So if you've got those volunteers or people with that particular conviction or passion, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. So you kind of assess where you are and figure out what this position needs to look like, whether it needs to be age specific or gifting specific. And then where do you kind of go from there?
From there, we start posting on all the places people who are in youth ministry are looking, youth specialties, different blogs, group publishing. We get word out to the different conferences where they're posting stuff up. Mm-hmm. In our particular tradition, United Methodist tradition, we get on the United Methodist Connection sites, UM Youth Pastor, UMC.org, all those places try to get the word out. And I start calling key relational people. Like, you know, if I had a position open, Jeremy, you're going to be one of my calls to go, hey, listen, right, Here's what I'm looking for. Let me know if you know of anybody. I find that youth pastors are the best recruiters because we're all raising up next generational leaders, right, Hopefully. And then hopefully we're able to point those to churches who have those openings. And I've found some of my best team members have come from other youth pastor friendship references. So,
mm-hmm. And you know, there's always people in your area that, you know, there's a great book called The Tipping Point, and he talks about a type of personality called a connector. And you know, there are those people that they know everybody, and they walk in. You know, we were at Starbucks today, and there's this guy in our name named Brother Love. And whenever Brother Love walks into any place, he shakes hands with at least half the people there. Everybody feels like they know Brother Love. I feel like I know Brother Love, but but he's a connector, you know. And right, and if you keeping that in your mind, I think identifying who those people are, because there's a couple two, three people that I when it's time to hire somebody, I call them up because I know that they've got their ears in a lot of different social circles and ministry circles.
Absolutely. I would also add, we have in the past used ministry search headhunter companies. There are companies that do headhunting specifically for large churches.
Right.
They're not cheap. They are costly, but I find the more money we invest up front, the longer we take interviewing, the more time we spend in prayer and discernment, the better the hire is. Right. So that's something you might want to consider too.
And that's been successful for you guys?
Yeah, we've found three or four positions on my team using a headhunter company like that that we contract with as a church that we use across the board, kind of learns who we are, knows who we are. They're really our agent, if you will, and they're right out there looking for open positions for us, that kind of thing.
Great. So now where do you go after that? You're kind of getting the word out. You get in all kinds of resumes.
Yes, yes. Well, first and foremost, they need to be somebody who's going to line up with our mission and vision. And specifically, we're a United Methodist church, but that does not mean that we're only going to hire United Methodist backgrounds. In fact, I like a diverse background on my team. Mm-hmm. There are people that would argue that you only hire people that agree with everything that you think. But doctrine, of course, we need to be aligned with doctrine. But I'm really looking for people that have different sociopolitical aspects, different giftings than me. I want to create a really diverse and well-rounded team.
Right.
And so I'm looking at, across the board at that. I look really closely at references. Education, of course, is important, but I'm looking for references and experience as well. Mm-hmm. My experience with youth ministry is I want to see on your resume where you've been engaged with young people.
Right.
I want to talk to the people that worked with you when you were engaged with young people.
Right.
That's just so critical to the position. And of course, one of the first questions I'm going to be looking for is your own faith testimony, your relationship with Christ and how it's growing.
Mm-hmm. And so you kind of want to see a diverse background that kind of are on the same page as you, roughly.
Yeah, roughly. But I'm also looking for some people who I don't want to hire my makeup is, I guess, maybe the best way to say it. I want to hire different makeups, different backgrounds from me. Now, obviously, there are on my team that we come from similar backgrounds, but I'm always looking to create more diversity in our background. And I'm also looking for male and female, and I'm looking for different ethnic groups. Certainly don't limit it to that, but I'm trying to create as best of a well-rounded team as I can.
Right. And so when you get resumes in, tell me kind of, you know, if you post on Youth Specialties and you post on, you know, all of these sites, you get a bunch of resumes.
Yeah,
how do you cull through that first? I've got 150 resumes and I'm not calling 150 people.
Well, most of these resumes, you can tell there's certain language, certain things that over time and experience, you can kind of look for those red flags to go, this person is not just, they're in a different theological place than we are.
Right.
Of course, we're in a large church, so I have the benefit of an HR department that culls through those,
right,
and looks for the things that really jump out. We actually do pre-screening interviews. So, say we got 150. Well, we're going to knock out, you know, 100 of those that just. But yeah, I'm going to look at every one of them. I'm going to take them home. I'm going to read them at night. I really feel like we spend way too much time sending people away from a position. You know, mm-hmm. we throw parties and we do it as they're leaving, and right. not enough time investing ahead of time. So I want to look at every resume. I want to read every word. I want to start there and look for the people that really make something unique that I'm looking for. In their experience and their background. And then we're going to do some pre-screening calls. So we'll have somebody that is not necessarily the interviewing team, just call and ask some basic questions to do another call.
Like?
So doctrinal stuff, any connection with the United Methodist Church, for us, that's important. How do you feel about our mission statement to build a Christian community where non-religious and nominally religious people are becoming deeply committed Christians? That's critical for us. If that doesn't excite them, I mean, we put it right out there. Listen, if that doesn't excite you, we don't need to go any further in the conversation because we want this to be a fit for you too.
Right.
Not just a fit for us, but a fit for both. We want people to be excited about their job, excited about their ministry here. So we lay that out. Here's who we are. That's what that first call is. Here's who we are. If that sounds interesting to you, do you want us to continue talking with you? You'd be surprised how many people go, yeah, that sounds great, but that's not who I am.
Right.
And that's okay. And we sort of give them the opportunity to opt out before we opt them out of the process.
Okay. And some red flags that we look at as well are, you know, a little bit of experience doesn't take you out of the game. But say 10 years of experience and 10 churches – probably does opt you out.
It certainly does. It certainly does. I am looking for some integrity. I think that's an integrity issue.
Right.
Not that God doesn't call you to different places and you have to listen, and that could be every year. But yeah, every year in 10 years says, yeah, when the going gets tough, I opt out. And, you know, sad to say, a lot of youth ministers do that. And, you know, we have the benefit of there are always youth ministry jobs open. And if it gets a little tough, we can move on. And but that doesn't necessarily make the most integrity-filled leader that I'm looking for on my team.
Okay, so each week we have a resource pick from our guest, and gave Jason, you know, is a veteran from our podcast, so he knows what's going on. I know that he's come with some awesome resources. What's your pick today?
My pick today is Doug Fields, Your First 2 Years in Youth Ministry. Landmark book, great book. I had an opportunity to learn personally from Doug. He shares a lot of great insight. There's a piece in there on interviewing, specific questions to ask. Just every youth minister should not only own, but read this book regularly.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us. If they are looking for you, where is the best way to kind of ask you maybe a follow-up question that they may have?
Best way is on Facebook. Look for Jason Gant, Kansas City, Missouri Network. Plus, I'd just love to connect with you on Facebook. And you can also check out jasongant.org, which is my site that you can connect with me on.
And that's jasongant.org.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, Jason. You've been listening to 10 Minute Training, a youth ministry podcast by umyouthpastor.com. For more information, check us out on our website at umyouthpastor.com/podcast.